This podcast is brought to you by Optus Sport, the only place to watch all 64 games of the 2018 FIFA World Cup live on Optus Sport.
Tammy Kuhl, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool!
He's broken to Viduka. Can he punish them? He can! Leads are back in it!
Oh, and Johnston's through! This time he surely is going to make it. 3-0!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. Aussies Abroad with Josh Parrish on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Streaming football 24/7, this is FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. I'm Josh Parrish and this is Aussies Abroad, the show where we're keeping tabs on all of our Australians playing their football overseas. Our Aussies Abroad expert Damien Davies with me in studio, and on the line we have Harry Ascroft, a defender who's playing his football over in Malta with Bolzan FC. Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show. We understand you're actually back in Australia at this point in time.
Yeah, I popped back for the off-season to see family and friends, but I'm heading back over to Malta pretty soon.
Yeah, fantastic. Have you been apart from your family for a great period of time? Or?
Well, when I originally started off my career, I was in the Netherlands, so I kind of got used to being on my own. But, you know, the 3-4 weeks we get off, it's good to see the family and friends and kind of refresh and, you know, get back on home soil and then get ready for the new season ahead.
So, Harry, it's Damien. Thanks for joining us. So, I'd love to know about the start of your journey. You've been back and forth overseas a couple of times now, and you've obviously had some great experiences. Can you walk us through, I guess, your junior football in Australia and then how the opportunity to move across to Holland came about?
Yeah, well, I played my juniors for, you know, Gladesville Spirit in New South Wales Leagues and Bankstown City Lions, and then Sydney University, and, you know, I dropped down a league to play the first team, you know, when I was young, when I was 15, 16, which definitely helped me when I got invited to a trial through a coach to VVV Venlo, who were in the Netherlands second division. I went over there for about 2 weeks and they liked what they saw and offered me a 2-year contract. So I was there at VVV Venlo. They're now in the top flight in Holland, but came back and got signed up by the Central Coast Mariners on a 3-year deal. And then just recently I've moved to Bolzan FC in Malta in January and just put pen to paper on a 1-year extension. So I'll be there for one more season.
Excellent, excellent. So talk to us about the jump from football in Australia to moving into that professional environment in Holland.
Yeah, it was a big step. Back here, you know, in the NPL, you train 3 times a week with a coach. Obviously, I was doing, you know, individual sessions when we didn't have team trainings, but the setup there, the facilities over in Holland, you know, were top class. And, you know, they produce young players. So, you know, the teams under 10s, under 11s, under 12s, you know, they're almost training full time. Growing them through the systems to then produce them at first team level.
So they were second tier. What sort of crowds are they? Are they sort of 5,000, 10,000?
Yeah, Venlo is a pretty small town, so we got around 5,000. But, you know, if we played, you know, a big team, you know, NEC Nijmegen, you know, you could get up to, you know, 15,000. But, now they're playing in the first division against Ajax and PSV, so crowds can get up to, you know, 40,000. But, generally our stadium, you know, it had a capacity of 8,000, but we got around 5,000.
And I notice here, Harry, that Venlo have featured a number of star players from, you know, the likes of Keisuke Honda, Mai Yoshida, Ahmed Musa from Nigeria as well. So the standard must be pretty high, despite the town being so small.
Yeah, you know, they produced, obviously, Honda, and I think they still go on about Honda, and they're still very proud about, producing players like Honda, and they've... When I was there, we had a player, Uche Nwafor, who played for Nigeria, and he went to the 2014 World Cup. So when he came back, he told us stories. I think they had to play against Argentina in the group stages. And, you know, I think he wasn't lucky enough to get Messi's shirt, but I think he was lucky to get Mascherano's shirt. So, yeah, I mean, we had some top-class players there. And obviously the league in Holland is very good as well. It's one of the top leagues, so it was a good experience.
I'm not sure if Venelo claimed this or not, but Terry Antonis was there as well. Is he a product, or is that a stretch?
Well, you know, considering that Melbourne Victory won the grand final and he scored, that goal to get them through to the finals, maybe they will claim him.
Yeah. Did you guys cross paths there? I think he was there a little bit after you, right?
Yeah, I think he was there one or two seasons after me. So, I never actually got to cross paths with him.
Right.
So in terms of moving to Malta, a lot of Australian players who go over there have some sort of family or heritage connection. Is that the case with you? Or
No. Obviously, I went over in January. I met, you know, the president, Anton Tagliaferro. He's half Maltese, half Australian, and we ended up meeting. And he, you know, told me that he owned a football club in Malta, and he'd seen footage of me. They'd seen footage of me, and they'd like to get me over. And I thought, you know, I'd jump at the experience to, you know, get my foot back in the door in Europe, and experience, you know, a new football, a new way of life. So I went over there originally for 6 months, and, you know, they liked what they saw in that time to, you know, put an extension on the table, and now there for one more season.
So when it comes to your football resume, tell us how that works for I guess, younger guys that have been to a couple of different clubs, right? So you had your experience in Holland. You were there for, you know, 12, 18 months, I think it was, right? And then you came back to Australia. You had a couple of years at the Mariners. You made 30-odd appearances there. When someone like Malta, Bosland's looking at you in Malta, are they looking at your kind of most recent past, or do they go look at your football CV?
Obviously, they do check your CV. You know, they knew that I played in Holland. They knew I played, represented, you know, the Australian under-20s team, and that I had, you know, so many appearances for the Mariners. And then, obviously, they like to check up on your footage, you know, your recent games, so that they can kind of get a gauge of, you know, what type of player. Because a player can change from, you know, 4 years ago to now, so they want to check up on your recent you know, your recent games, and if you're the same player that they saw or that they like. So basically, yeah, I was still contracted at the Mariners, and, you know, I got flown over to basically, you know, for me to have a look at the club, and then for the club to have a look at me. And, you know, we both liked what we saw, and, you know, the deal was done.
So how would you talk to us about your first 6 months at Balzan? Would you say you're happy with the amount of game time that you got? Would you just talk about the initiation into a different training regime and getting used to the club, and that was kind of a 6 months, you know, development period in your career, and next year is where you're really going to launch. What's your view on that first 6 months?
Yeah, the first 6 months, it was interesting. In Malta, there's a foreign rule, so you're only allowed to play 7 foreigners in the team. However, we had 10 foreigners in our squad, so 3 have to miss out and sit in the stands because of the foreign rule, so that they play their Maltese players, and, you know, it helps with them. But, I knew I wasn't going to play a lot coming over there for the first 6 months. It was kind of for me to gauge, you know, the league, and, you know, get accustomed to it. But now hopefully we can kick on. You know, we came second. We just missed out on winning the league. So we've qualified for the Europa League qualifications, which will happen, you know, next month in July. So that's also a massive, you know, positive, if I can hopefully, you know, get involved in the Europa League qualification to also, you know, have on my CV. Hopefully next season, you know, I'll play a lot more, and you never know what comes from it. You know, you're in Europe, and people are always looking. So,
and tell us a bit about the town of Bolzan, a pretty small village of 4,000 people or so. What's it like to live there?
Yeah, Bolzan is very small. It's a very nice village. But Malta's in general, you know, very small. So to get around the islands, it's pretty quick and easy. And, you know, it's similar to Australia, the weather-wise, you know, the summers are quite hot and the winters, you know, in Sydney at least, are not too bad. So generally, the climate's okay. And the standard of living's, you know, it's really nice. And, you know, it's picturesque, really. It's, you know, it's a beautiful holiday destination also. But so I'm lucky to live there.
Yeah, it looks pretty great here. I can see a lot of very picturesque old sort of churches and medieval buildings and so forth.
Yeah, I think there's 365 churches, so one for each day of the year.
Nice.
Yeah, you can just have one for each mass every day. It's very convenient for the local residents. how would you gauge the level of the Maltese Premier League? Is it similar to the A-League or NPL?
Yeah, I think the top six teams, you know, could compete in the A-League for sure. The only problem with Malta is it doesn't get the coverage that it should get. You know, there's no real broadcasting rights. There's, you know, not much sponsorship because it's such a small island. But you get a lot of players, you know, that come from the Serie B leagues, you know, the Italian leagues that come on loan down to Malta to get some game time or they sign permanently. You know, the last game I played, the striker was on loan from Inter Milan. So he was, you know, the quality's there. It's just, it just doesn't get the coverage, I think, that, you know, the A-League gets or other leagues get around the world.
So do you think you'll eventually need to move on to a league that gets more coverage to be able to build your profile? Or is this just about developing yourself as a player and the rest will come?
Yeah, definitely. I've got ambitions to, you know, play, you know, in maybe a league that has more coverage and, you know, but right now it's about me, you know, getting some games under my belt, you know, playing hopefully in a Europa League game. I mean, that's a big cherry for anyone, really. And, you know, cracking on for this season, and then you never know the possibilities that can happen. You know, you're in Europe. You know, we're only an hour away from Italy. I know there's a lot of players that come back and forth between those two countries. So, yeah, the possibilities really hopefully can come if I put a good season, put a good performances next season.
So, Harry, you talked about the restrictions on foreigners that are playing in the local league there. Is that the same application for the Europa League, or are there different qualification rules and alike for foreigners?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think they might not apply for the Europa League because that's under FIFA jurisdiction and whatnot. But in terms of, yeah, the Malta Premier League, yeah, seven foreigners is the maximum amount, whether that being, you know, five starting and two on the bench or seven starting and zero on the bench.
Yeah.
And will you go into Europa League playoffs having finished second?
Yes, yep, we'll head into Europa League playoffs. I think the draw is next month. And the first game's, you know, roughly around June 12th, 13th. So, yeah, it should be exciting who we draw. I know last year they made Europe. They drew some team from Hungary. But, you know, the teams, you know, they've drawn some big teams over the past. I knew they had Red Bull Salzburg. A couple of years ago, teams had West Ham. So, you know, hopefully we can pick a big team and, you know, it'd be a good experience.
So you've signed your one-year extension and, you know, obviously you've got aspirations to stay in Europe. If the A-League comes knocking in 3 years' time, are you going to say no thanks and stay in Europe for a little bit longer, or are you still open and come back to the A-League, you know, at that sort of 25, 26 age in a couple of years down the track from now?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely still open to come to the A-League. You know, I still, I was involved for 2.5 years and I still watch it when I'm overseas. And, you know, I've still got friends in the league. So I think it's growing every year. And, you know, hopefully, with, you know, in a couple of seasons' time with a few new teams, and it'll be really exciting. So, yeah, I'm definitely, you know, the door's still open there. But right now for this season, it's in Malta. I'm playing for Bolzano.
You mentioned there, actually, the possibility of expansion. Is that a big factor for guys like you getting more opportunity at A-League level, adding a couple extra teams?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, there's a few players, you know, that probably don't get enough opportunities, or, you know, some NPL players that, you know, who do well in NPL leagues, and the more teams, the better, you know, the more jobs, you know, we have, and the more opportunities we have as players. So, It'll be only beneficial, really, and I think, you know, the league will be beneficial as well, having more teams, you know, more excitement, create a bit of a buzz around the league as well. So looking forward to it.
So the last one from me, Harry, we're obviously all getting excited about the World Cup. So being an Aussie in Malta and obviously going to be representing our country, representing the final 32 in Russia, is there much talk of that at club level? Do people come up and talk to you about your Australian roots and that type of thing?
Yeah, definitely, especially. I think there's quite a strong link in Malta with Australians in general. So, yeah, they talk about, you know, we've got a tough group, you know, but, you know, everyone knows the players like Tim Cahill and stuff. So, you know, they talk to me about it. And then we've got a few South Americans in the squad who are from Brazil and Colombia. So, you know, we have a bit of a joke around at training and whatnot. So, yeah, I know people come up to me and they ask about Australia and how we're going to do in the World Cup. So I tell them, hopefully we're progress through the group stages, but it's a tough group. Yeah. But, no, I'm excited and I'm looking forward to it.
Does Balzan have any players that are actually going to the World Cup?
Unfortunately, no. No players. And I don't know if previously they've had players at the World Cup. They've had players, you know, previously play in the Champions League and whatnot, but I don't think any World Cup players.
I'm looking at the squad here, and the other nationalities are Brazil, Colombia, Serbia, and so forth. So a bit of competition for those national teams.
Yeah, I know. And I'll be back in Australia all the way. So hopefully we can do some damage in the World Cup.
Absolutely. Well, Harry, thanks so much for joining us on Aussies Abroad tonight. Best of luck for next season and your career moving forward. And we look forward to catching up with you again sometime in the future.
Cheers. Thank you for having me, guys.
All the best.
That was Harry Ascroft playing his football over in Malta for Balzan FC. He's a centre-back and a right-back. You may have seen him in the A-League with the Central Coast Mariners, and he's open to coming back to Australia in future, maybe playing for one of those expansion sides. Time will tell.